Praise. If you don't mind, all over the building, would you stand to your feet? We prepare to receive the word that God would have for us today. Amen. And right now, just lift your hands up to heaven. Whisper some sweet words of love to the Lord. For we know that our God has the power to heal and to restore. He has the power to change your situation. He has the power to turn things around. And I know there are some people who came in here today with an expectation that God is getting ready to give you something. And so right now, just open up your mouth and pull down your blessing from heaven. Pull down what God has for you in this place. Father, we just thank you so much for every blessing that you're giving us. We thank you, God, because you are the one who is able to turn everything around in our lives. You're the one, Lord, that's able to break the yoke of the enemy. And we came in here today, Father, because we know that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And so today we declare in the name of Jesus that everything that the enemy tried to steal from us, we're taking it back right now. We declare today in the name of Jesus that every yoke is broken in this place. And when we leave out of here, we will leave out better than we came in, because we know we have been in the very presence of the living God. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross that I speak your word and your word alone. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you will, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 17. Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. And when you have it, shout, I got it. And if you're still looking for it, don't worry. It's on the screen. Just look up. Amen. Reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Grab your neighbor by the hand and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, nevertheless, God will restore. You may be seated in the presence of God. That was a powerful word that came from our choir just a minute ago when they began to announce, nevertheless. And when you, if you were to take a Google search of nevertheless and look it up to try to find out what it means in spite of. So in the Greek, the word nevertheless is defined by two Greek letters, D and E, pronounced de. And it also means but. So when we look at something, we always know in our vernacular that when you're making a statement and it's followed by but, everything that happens right before the but is wiped out. So if you say, I'm getting ready to get my blessing, but, there's trouble along the way, then that means you just wiped out your blessing. But if you can say that I have a pain in my body and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I trust in God, that means the pain is wiped away. So when we see a nevertheless, that becomes a larger word to indicate but. So when we say nevertheless, we're saying that everything that took place in the past is now wiped away. So that when the enemy gets ready to come against you like a flood, you can jump up and say, nevertheless, God is able. When the enemy comes in and says you'll never make it, you don't have enough power or enough resources, you can say you're absolutely right. I might not have enough money in my pocket. My change might be strange, but nevertheless, God is a provider. When the doctor comes in and gives you the bad report and says that we don't know what we're going to do, you can say, that's all right that you don't know what you're going to do. Nevertheless, I have a God that is a healer. So there is something powerful in a nevertheless situation. In the text that we're looking at, we see a nevertheless situation. One of the things that the choir just sang about, it said, the choir in their song, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they said that dead situations come alive. In the midst of our text, we find a mother who is in the midst of a dead situation. The Bible says, first of all, notice it says here, it came to pass the day after. So it indicates that Jesus was coming from something and getting ready to move into something else. What was it that happened the day before? Well, the day before, in a little town called Capernaum, there was a centurion that came and said to Jesus, my son is sick and I need a healing for my son. And Jesus said, I will go with you to the house, and when we get there, I will heal the son. And the centurion said, no, Jesus, you don't have to do that, because I'm a man with authority and I know you have authority. All you have to do is speak, because I'm not even worthy enough to have you come into my house. So if you just open up your mouth and speak, then something will begin to take place. Can we just put a little pin right there? Because somebody in here, you're going through a situation and I don't know who is speaking to you, but you need to stop listening to whoever's around you and start listening for the master's voice. Because nevertheless, when Jesus says something, things begin to happen. So here in Capernaum, when the centurion says this to Jesus, Jesus says that this is a man of great faith. Since you believe in the authority that's in my voice, nevertheless, go back home, because everything is going to be all right. And on the way, the centurion found out that his son was healed, and he was healed at the exact moment he was speaking to Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I've come to let somebody know today that it don't take all year long for God to move. God has enough power that when he says something today, 5 minutes later, your situation has turned around. He has enough power that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when he says something is coming to pass, it's already done. So the doctor may come in and say that your cancer might take some years to heal up. But God says, no, all I got to do is speak. If you have enough faith in the power of my word. So Jesus is coming from a situation where he has had success and a miracle was performed. And then he walks 21 miles down the road to a little town called Nain. Watch this. Nain, the city name, the word Nain means beautiful. So he was walking into a beautiful place, and surrounding him was an entourage of disciples who had come with him, and they had already seen the miracle in Capernaum. And now they were coming into this city, this beautiful city, and on their way into the city, a funeral was coming out. Because when a person died, they did not bury them in the city. They had to move them out of the city and take them to another location. And so here they were coming out of the city. Now, watch the characters here. The Bible says that there was a widow, and she was burying her only son. This was a bad situation for her. Because a widow, of course, when a woman's husband passed away, in the Bible, in biblical times, when a woman's husband passed away, it became the responsibility of the oldest son to take care of his mother. And if the oldest son passed away, then the next son, and the next son, and the next son. But in this case, she only had one son. So she was looking at a situation now where her only son had passed away. Her past included a dead husband, and her present included a dead son. And now her future was producing a dead situation because she no longer had any source of income, and now she was going to be living in a situation where she was alone. So she had a dead past, a dead present, and a dead future coming up, and in her mind, she doesn't know what to do. She's walking out of the city, and in her mind, she's about to bury the last thing that she could ever possibly love because everything else was gone. Have you ever been in such a position that it seemed as if everything around you just went from the frying pan right into the fire? Where it seemed like you taking one step forward and all of a sudden the enemy pulls you three steps back. Right before I got up here, I received a text from my sister. About 3 weeks ago, she was in the hospital for pneumonia. And she was in the hospital for about 3 days, and she recovered and got out of the hospital. And so now she texts me while we're sitting here right before I came up here to the podium. And she said, I'm back in the hospital for pneumonia. But they're saying it's different this time, that there's fluid in my lungs. And I don't know what to do. And while this text comes, the choir is singing, Nevertheless. So I text her and said, I'm sorry to hear that, but nevertheless, God is able. And she said, I receive that God is able. And I said, you're still in the same place? She said, yeah. I said, all right, it's going to be all right. Because you've got to understand that when you're in a nevertheless situation, you have to say that the nevertheless is the activation of my faith. And I know that when God speaks, not only does something begin to happen, but now restoration begins to take place. So here this woman is coming into the city of Nain, and she is in the midst of a dead situation. And when she comes in to the city, Jesus sees her. It's something about a God that can see you. That means that when I'm in trouble and I don't know what to do, when my car break down on the side of the road and the run to flats don't work all the way and I'm stuck on the side of the road, God still sees me and sends angels to protect me, to watch over me even at 2 o'clock in the morning. When I'm in a situation where I lose my job and I say, I don't know what I'm going to do to pay the bills, I can look up and I can say, nevertheless, because God sees me. He sees me before anybody else sees me. He sees me before my bill collectors see me. He sees me before the radiologist walks in the room. He sees me before any situation the enemy tries to impose on me can steal my joy. God sees me. And so the Bible says when he sees her, he has compassion. And the word he speaks to her is he says, weep not. They were in a beautiful place. She's coming out with tears in her eyes because her past includes a dead husband. Her present includes a dead son. And her future includes a dead situation. And Jesus steps in the midst of her situation. And in this encounter, he looks at her with compassion and says, despite what happened back then, and despite what's going on right now, don't look at what your future, that you think your future holds, because I see you, so weep not. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I've come to let somebody know it's time to dry your tears, because nevertheless, God is getting ready to move in such a powerful way that the enemy is going to be so confused, he won't even be able to stand up around you. Weep not. And then he stops the procession. He stops the funeral procession. Can you imagine all of us getting into the car, the caskets in front of us, and they're driving down the road, and pastor's in the second car, and you have the long line of cars, everybody have their lights on, and then all of a sudden Jesus stops in the middle of the road and says, hold up. Like a traffic cop, he just stands right there and says, stop. That's important to know. Because when the enemy gets ready to come against you, you need somebody to tell the enemy, it's time for you to stop. And when God says stop, it's not a stop over there or keep going a little bit further and stop. It's a right now stop. So when he touched it and said stop. And they have to stop where he says stop. He doesn't say go to the left or to the right, right here, and you go no further. I've come to tell somebody that God is speaking in the midst of your situation to tell the devil, now is the time for you to take your hands off my child. It's time for you to stop. You can go no further. The funeral procession stops, and Jesus just tells the man to get up. And they're holding him. They got the pallbearers, one on each end, holding him up. And Jesus says, arise, young man. And the young man sits up. This is one of the few resurrection stories that we hear about in the Bible. Everybody knows about Lazarus. And they even know about the little girl who Jesus, when he came into the room, he said, Talitha kumai. And she rose up. But very few people know of this story here where he just stops the funeral procession. And in the midst of the burial, he says, get up. And the man gets up. We have a God that in the midst of your dead situation, that all he has to do is speak and something begins to happen. You know, one of the things that's common here in the state of Texas that I found out. You know, I grew up in Chicago where in the summertime it was summer. In the wintertime it was winter. Texas, it could be 80 degrees in February. And then the next day it's freezing with ice. You're just really confused with the weather in the state of Texas. And when it rains, it really rains. And sometimes when you're in your house and the rain is coming down, Sometimes the rain is so heavy that it knocks the power out. You have a power outage. When it knocks the power out, you feel as if you can't function because you don't have any power. Somebody gonna get this in a minute. When you don't have any power, you feel powerless. You feel you can't do anything. You can't watch TV. You can't read a book. You can't do anything. The food that's in the refrigerator is getting ready to spoil. You can't get on your computer. Sometimes if you got internet and your phone is connected, then you are disconnected completely from the world. I know we have the smartphones and some, and they'll connect to your telephone line, but sometimes you have a phone that's connected to the internet. And when the internet is down at your house, you have no connection with the outside world. You are completely powerless until the power company comes and restores power. Watch this. In order for the power company to restore power, the first thing the power company must do is they have to reconnect the transmission lines. In other words, they have to reconnect the source of power to the method of power. In our text, Jesus prepares to reconnect the transmission lines because when he comes on the scene, he has compassion and then he gives a command to weep not. When he does that, he's now saying, I'm reconnecting myself with you. I've come to let somebody know that in order for your power to be restored, there has to be a reconnection between you and God. In other words, you've got to be to the point that where you messed up at before, you've got to go back and look up to God and say, God, I need a reconnection from you. I need you to restore my power. Let me put in a call and say, my power is out. Can you please reconnect the power? And the first thing God says is, I'm going to reconnect my transmission line between you and the Holy Ghost. Oh, I wish I had a witness in this place. The next thing the power company has to do is they have to check the main circuits. They check the main circuits by sending a signal. And if there is a response from the signal, then all of a sudden they realize that the connection has taken place. In the text, Jesus gives a command to stop, and they stop. In other words, the reconnection or the checking of the main circuit line comes when you walk in obedience to what he says. So the first thing God does is he reconnects, then he gives you a command to obey, and when you obey, your main circuits have been checked. Once your main circuits have been checked and everything seems to be fine and there is a response from you in terms of obedience, he says, now I can check your individual line. That comes when the power company, when they realize that there is a connection, now you got to go and flip the circuit breakers. And when you flip the circuit breakers, you're waiting for something to take place on the inside of the house. It's not something outside the house. It's something on the inside of the house. So here in our text, after Jesus gets the young man up, the Bible says the people begin to glorify God. In other words, they start opening up their mouths and giving God a praise. One of the things Pastor Joshua said earlier was that every time God got ready to do something, when he finished, the response was a praise. The man at the gate called Beautiful, he started leaping and jumping and shouting. When you start looking at every person that's in the Bible, when God did something, praise began to follow. When the individual line on the inside of you is reconnected with the power source, all you can do is open up your mouth and give God a praise. Is there somebody in this place right now that God has reconnected your circuits? I wish I had a witness in here that could just praise God for everything he's getting ready to do. So now the Bible says that fear came on all the people and they begin to glorify God. There was a reconnection because God had restored the power that was inside of a dead young man. And I've come to let somebody know that no matter what your situation, nevertheless, God is able to restore your connections. He's able to flip the switches and turn everything back on. Is there anybody in here that needs a little bit more joy? I dare you to open up your mouth and praise God with some joy. Is there anybody here that needs a little bit more peace? The Bible says that if you pray without ceasing, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill your heart and mind. Is there anybody in here that feels the attack of the enemy? I come to let somebody know. No weapon formed against you will ever be able to prosper because your God is with you. Is there anybody in this place that could open up your mouth and give God some glory because you understand that nevertheless, God is able? The enemy thought he had you, but I come to tell somebody to put that devil on notice that God is able, and nevertheless, despite my situation, despite my burden and my problem, despite what I'm going through right now, I already know that I have the victory. Is there anybody in this place that can declare the victory in your life? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I come to tell somebody that God can make a way out of no way. Watch this. Back in 2009, I was working for a company called Rexel. And they called me in the office one day, and when I got there in the office, the boss told me, we're going through some financial downtime, so we're going to have to let you go. We're giving you your layoff. I went home, told my wife, I don't know what I'm going to do. They gave me a severance package. I qualify for unemployment, but I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm worried. And I worried, and I worried, until finally I got a job at a company called Cheddar's. And then Cheddar's worked there for 7 years, and Cheddar's got sold to another company, and they came and told me, we're going to have to let you go. And when that happened, I thought to myself, I've been here before. So I already know that God is able. The last time I worried a whole lot, I still got a few worries, but I know God is able. And so I jumped at the first job that came along, a company called Pinnacle Propane, and I got the Pinnacle. And when I got there, they had all kind of problems going on there at Pinnacle, all kind of problems. And when I was there, I said, God, I don't even know about this place. And my old boss from Cheddar's called me and said, we got a job for you to come to call Del Frisco's. And I get there to Del Frisco's, and I've been there at Del Frisco's, and I built the accounts payable department, and I put systems in place, and I built this company. I built everything up in my department and built it up until it was powerful. Then they came around and told us we had sold the company again. And so here I was thinking to myself, what if they lay me off? What if they let me go? I said, you know what, God? I'm not going to wait for them to let me go. I came in and put my notice in and said that I'm going to find something that God wants for me to have, because I believe that when God gets ready to move, he's going to do it. Now, I know Pastor Joshua always says, wait till you got another job before you do it. I I put my notice in. I had got another job. Something happened. My offer was rescinded, and I did not worry because I said, God is able. Nevertheless, God is going to do something. I don't know what it is. Maybe that job wasn't for me. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm not going back to where I was. I can't go back to Del Frisco's. So, God, I know you got something for me. And I had an interview on Friday for 2.5 hours. And when I walked out of that place, the recruiter called me back and said, I don't know what you said to them people, but they told me to tell you, you at the top of the list. You might expect a call next week. And I've been sitting here thinking, God, is this what you set up for me? Nevertheless, if Monday come and they don't call me, if Wednesday come, it'll be my birthday. If they don't call me, if Friday come and they don't call me, I know that I've got a God that is able. I know that I've got a God that will make a way out of no way. So no matter what comes, nevertheless, if that mean I gotta join Brother Ernest cleaning up around here at the church, if I gotta go out in the parking lot and pick up cans, whatever God has for me, I know it's for me. Somebody in this place, you ought to open up your mouth and bless the name of the Lord, because you understand that no matter what it looks like, and I can assure you, that's exactly what the enemy thought when he saw Jesus hanging there on that cross. He said, I got him. He ain't nothing else he can do. He raised the widow of Nain's son. He got Lazarus up out of his grave. But he can't do anything right now. He hanging there on a cross with nails in his hand and nails in his feet. He's hanging there on that cross with blood pouring out of his head. He's hanging there on that cross, and there's nothing he can do. But he didn't understand the power of a nevertheless God. He didn't understand that hanging there on that cross was love for all mankind. And the Bible says that after they took him from that cross and wrapped him up in 100 pounds of spices and placed him in Joseph of Arimathea, brand new tomb, and they rolled a stone in front of the rock that was placed inside the rock, and they thought that they had him. They thought he couldn't get up, but the Bible says he stayed there in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. But early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, watch this, because I always wondered, God, why did you allow Jesus to get up on the first day of the week?